everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He's a highly decorated Army war veteran, having served his country for over 30 years, with two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, garnering meritorious awards too numerous to mention. He survived 14 IED attacks, the last taking place on Thanksgiving Day 2010, where a rocket-propelled grenade hit his vehicle literally where he was seated. He would survive, physically heal, but then question, "Why me, Lord? Why was I not taken instead?" Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, an honor indeed, Command Sergeant Major Retired Chris Fields. Sergeant Major, welcome to Testimony.
Good afternoon. How are you all?
Well, it's great to have you here. We're doing great. And Chris, if I may, your story, Chris, is the one that movies are being made of, one in particular that released earlier this year called The Hornet's Nest, a documentary describing a particularly fierce battle, and in one in which you gave command and also give comment to on the Operation Restored Warrior website for those of our listeners who may want to view that as well, where you now serve as Executive Director of Alumni Affairs. But before we get to all of this in part one of our two-part conversation today, and in awareness of National PTSD Day, an abbreviation for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, will you take our listeners to your own personal story of faith, your entry into your military career, and your subsequent decision, Chris, to use the resources God has given you in healing to help heal others? Chris, please tell us your story.
Well, I'll tell you, I try to be humble about it. There was a lot more warriors that are out there that did a heck of a lot more than I did, but I'll tell you my part of the story. I joined the Army in 1981 out of California, thinking that I was going to take on the world. And at that point, my faith was, I was a believer, but not really practicing. And at the end of my story, it'll kind of come clear on this road, this trouble road that I traveled on. I went all the way through Europe. My first duty station was in Berlin, Germany. And as a young man in a place where there was, you know, a lot to see and a lot of history, and I'm a history major, I did a lot of traveling. I saw a lot of things. When I came back to the United States, I served all across through Fort Ord, California, and went to South Korea, and just kind of traveled the world. Again, not really tested, my faith not really tested as it would in the upcoming years. I then, worked in various jobs. I was on the All-Army shooting team and went to sniper school and just was what I felt being and explaining enjoying the mark of a man. Bells and whistles, medals, and, combat instruments, badge, and master parachutes, and Pathfinder, and Top Guns, and shooting trophies, and all that. I thought that's what would make me a man. Mm-hmm. And further off into my career, I started getting into senior leadership and started seeing the trials and tribulations that service members go through a little bit more defined in their struggles, not only with the rigorous demands of training for war or to prevent, but more importantly, the struggles that soldiers had with their faith and how they could be in such remember young in my career as a non-commissioned officer counseling and talking to some about the how they were conflicted by serving in with weapons and the conflict of their understanding of what Lord's task was for them. All that is to say that I was on no walk to be able to counsel them correctly as I am now on that. So as we move forward, I spent a small stint. I was on a hand select team that went over to North Korea to look for missing MIAs in North Korea.
Well, Chris, let me ask you a quick question here. Were you conflicted about your role as an Army man serving our country? Did you have a problem picking up a weapon as you counseled others that seemed to have a problem with that, not really knowing their role in defending our country? Am I understanding you correctly?
I didn't have the conflict per se, but in the back of my mind, because I was living kind of a poser's life. I posed as this 10 feet tall, bulletproof kind of man. And yet, in the back of my, in my heart, it was, I will defend my faith. I will defend my country. I will defend my family. But how do you do that and still be a spiritual person? And I'll get to that as I go on this and how I was able to deconflict that conflict within me. And I guess I could explain it now. Well, we'll go forward. So I went forward and went to North Korea and found 21 sets of remains, or was part of a team that did that. And coming home and seeing them, the repatriation of that started to stir more of a concern or interest in my walk. And so we'll fast forward. I get through and go to Command Sergeant Major's Academy and come out, and I get attached, reassigned to the 101st Airborne here at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Which has to do with the movie I alluded to earlier called The Hornet's Nest. Is that correct?
That is correct. That certainly is. And The Hornet's Nest is a film that it's all documentary. There's no actors. It's all real people. And it's based, it solely is Mike Betcher, ABC news reporter, and his son going over to report on what's going on in Afghanistan. And it's another story about the journey of a father and his son, and the son reaching out to his father, and because they had lost connection. And sitting back, Mike Betcher and I sat on a couple of stoops smoking cigars and talking about the day's events, and I saw the anguish in his face of he had been all over the world for all these years, and and his son had lost contact with him. And it was at that point, and I did not have the discernment to tell this at the time, but the Holy Spirit was saying to me that that is sort of like you and God. I had lost my connection with my Father, my Heavenly Father. And yet I was not yet ready to understand. I didn't have the eyes to see that and the heart to interpret it. And as we go farther, we get to a point where my chaplain, Chaplain Roberts, one just great man, and a great shepherd of a flock of warriors. And he went forward with just his camera and his faith and filmed from the very front lines. And when he first came to me assigned to the unit, he said, "You know, what makes a good chaplain?" I told him that it wasn't if the hymnals were stacked correctly and the prayer books were stacked correctly in the chapel, but you need to be at the point in which you're the soldiers of this battalion need you, see you the most, and that is in the mud and up forward. And I could never get him back into the chapel for much of anything else.
Well,
and so he went forward and filmed this film, The Hornet's Nest, and it started off to be a story about a father and son connecting, but it's much, much more than that.
Now, The Hornet's Nest, if you could just describe for our audience, that was a pretty heated battle that you were in command of. Can you, in 1 or 2 minutes, tell us what happened?
Well, I wasn't in command of it. What I was the command sergeant major, and he is the senior advisor to the commander. The commander at the time was Colonel Vowell. And part of that battle was, the whole movie kind of stems around a few different units, 2-8 Marines, the Rockassons here, 3rd Brigade that's here at the 101st, 4th Brigade, 101st, and a couple other units. But the big battle scene is from the battle up right up against the border with Pakistan, and it's in the Kunar Valley, and it started on March 29th and 2011. It's sort of Sor Bay Valley, and we were fighting a very tenacious enemy, and we lost 6 individuals there, and
wow.
It was a very tough day. But in that fight, we landed, and the Hornet's Nest was just that. There are a few well-known pictures that have come out of there that show fighting in the 360-degree perimeter. And not any less heroism as soldiers in World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. But that's the fight, and that's where it was, in a very mountainous terrain. And at the end of that, the movie shows not so much the torment, but it just gives the American people a better understanding of what a majority of today's fighting men and women go through. That PTSD kind of not comes from, but gets exacerbated by.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Command Sergeant Major Retired Chris Fields. This is our first segment. We're going to hear more from Sergeant Fields in our next segment to talk more about what this means in the life of every military man and woman and what he is doing now to help heal the men and women in our military. Sergeant Fields, thank you for being with us today on Testimony. We look forward to having you back next week. God bless you.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
Last week, you heard the tremendous story of one man's sacrifice to serve his country over and over again. He is the recipient of 2 Legion of Merit Awards, 4 Bronze Stars for Valor, 2 Bronze Stars, 2 Purple Hearts, 2 Meritus Service Medals, 9 Arm Commendation Medals. The list goes on, and really too numerous to mention here. Suffice it to say, our next guest is a warrior's warrior, without which we would not have the independence and freedoms we enjoy today. Would you welcome back to Testimony, Executive Director of Alumni for Operation Restored Warrior, Command Sergeant Major Retired Chris Fields. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. Chris, if I may, last week you talked about your faith, your battles, and your segue into what you are doing now to help our wounded warriors heal, and in a marvelous way. So for this segment, Chris, I want to talk a little bit more about the effects of PTSD, commonly known as post-traumatic stress disorder, your own battle with that, if any. And we hear so much about suicide today amongst our military. It's staggering. Combat-related stress, CRSS, how you are helping others overcome through an organization that you help lead called Operation Restored Warrior. .org. Lieutenant Retired General Jerry Boykin gives the intro on that website, and he's fully behind what the organization is doing to help heal our wounded warriors. So, Chris, can you just please tell us more of your own story? Were you suicidal at one point, and how did you get healing for yourself?
Yes, I was. I was extremely in a dark period of my life. When we came back from Samarra, Iraq, my unit, 2nd Battalion 327, had 4 suicides right off the bat, and that was by of their own hand. You know, when we sign our name on the dotted line, there is a, you know, there is that dark, I mean, the general understanding that, you know, in battle, that may be the result, you know, getting hurt or death. But not when we come home. We should never, ever be in that position. And so it came to a point where you lose hope. You lose hope and you're desperate. And that's, I believe, why I was at that point. And I said,
well, Chris, excuse me just a second. Why did you feel that you were losing hope? I mean, you have the support of your wife, your family, the American people. You've done all that you know to do on the battlefield. You know, you've signed the dotted line. You're all in. What causes men like you to lose hope? Can you explain?
Because when we put our trust and hope into mankind and we seek validation from either the women in our lives or the other, you know, just addictions in our life, we seek validation there, we can also have that validation taken away. And the only validation that is true is that from God. And so I got to a point where even all those great achievements, I was still empty inside. The loss, the feeling of loss of my soldiers, the friends that I knew, and soldiers committing suicide, I felt helpless to prevent it. I didn't feel that I was the cause of it, but I did feel that I was at loss on how to stop it. Mm-hmm. And so I was at a point, and I was sitting on the end of my bed, and it was a very dark point, and a voice came to me and said that, if not you, then who? Will help these soldiers. And at that point, I didn't know who it was. And the love for my family is unmeasurable. If I could trade every relationship that I've ever had with a woman, if I could trade all those just to spend 10 more minutes with my wife, I would. And I would do it to be able to train that time just to spend it with my kids, because they are gifts from God, and they came into my life at a time in which I was completely broken. Oh, yeah. I went to ORW after this time, and kind of the way that I got there is the new chaplain I talked about in last week's episode, Chaplain Roberts, came into my office and he said, hey, there's a program out called Operation Restored Warrior in Colorado that I think we should start sending soldiers to. And I said, well, fine. He goes, well, I think you need to go to it. And I kind of told him in not so nice terms, you know, get out of my office. I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I'm not broken. I don't need your help.
Right.
And he left. And as he left the office, remember, he's just kind of a new guy, he left his hat sitting on my couch. Coincidence? There are no coincidences. The Holy Spirit had everything to do with this because he left my office, and I broke down and started to sob.
Wow.
Now, I'm 252 pounds of rugby. I'm rugby all man. When he came back in the room, I could not stop crying.
Wow.
And he quietly shut the door, and he sat down and waited until I got my composure. And he said, I really think that you need to go to this program. And after I got my composure, I told him to get out of my office in not such nice terms, and he left. Well, he did a button hook into my commander's office, Lieutenant Colonel Val at the time, and he said, I think the command sergeant major is on the verge. He then gave us a couple of minutes, and Lieutenant Colonel Val comes into my office, asks for coffee, because I always had coffee in my office, and said, hey, the chap you just talked to me about this new program, Operation Restore Warrior in Colorado. But I'm not going to send anybody until I have it evaluated. And I think that the senior non-commissioned officer of this battalion should go. And I said, well, all right, I'll go and assess it. Well, I got up there, and I got out of the car, and a great man named Paul Lavelle, he was a command master sergeant in the Air Force. He comes over and shakes my hand, and I pulled him in. I said, I'm not a religious person, and I'm here to evaluate your program. He pulled in and says, nobody here is to evaluate, and you know what? Jesus wasn't religious either, but let's just see who shows up.
I love it.
And I would tell you that I walked in, and he tore down my walls that I had put up, and Jesus did show up.
Now, for our listeners, just to clarify, Paul Lavelle is actually the founder, as I understand it, of OperationRestoredWarrior.org. And before founding this organization, he himself was an atheist who found Jesus Christ. Is that correct?
That is correct. He was, and we don't joke about it. In fact, he is almost tearful about it when he describes it now, that he was at one time an atheist, because all that time that he wasted being an atheist, he could have had joy in his life. And now he is a remarkable, remarkable leader of this great program that's rebuilding, and we call it refit and rearming warriors for not only the kinetic fight, but also the spiritual fight that we face every day. Well, I went back to, I came out of that program, and I went to Afghanistan. And, you know, my faith was going to be tested. And on June 7th, 2010, I had a vehicle that was blown up, and it took the life of five wonderful, wonderful men, and a couple of them who I had spent two tours with, one of them being First Sergeant Robert in Barton, who was taken from us. And the dark liar was trying to steal my joy, was trying to derail my faith, as he would whisper, you know, things in my head of, you know, you couldn't prevent this, and you can't make it, you know, you can't account for these guys. And it was horrible.
Right.
And so after all of that, after being blown up, after taking all of these hits, I came home, went back to ORW, and I took an RPG in my back seat. Right behind me is when the RPG entered the vehicle and blew up. And when I turned to the right to look at the flash of light before it hit me, there was an aura of protection. I was calm, and there was a feeling of, this is, you're okay. And And I used to always say that in the vehicles that we were in an MRAP, which are just great vehicles. I always told my men that if anybody was ever incapacitated in the back, that I would crawl back there and I'd work on them, not to worry. And physically, it's almost impossible for me to get back there because of my size. But right. I found myself in the back after the blast working on each and every one of these. And I knew that we were going to be okay because Jesus was there with us.
And you knew that. And really, your faith, if I'm understanding you, Chris, was established even more when you were at the Operation Restored Warrior Camp. It's a beautiful website. It just looks like an oasis that anyone could go to and just be. Can you talk about, in a remaining few minutes, some of the programs that Operation Restored Warrior rolls out, as it were, some of what helped you personally? I understand that all faiths are welcome, but it's with the auspice that that they hope that those that are coming are open to having a relationship with Christ, which is really what totally changed the founder's views in his life, totally changed your life, your views, and so much of what's going on in today's military and in the world. Our religious freedoms are being shut down. We're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. But at Command Sergeant, at Operation Restored Warrior, that's not the case, is it, Chris?
That is exactly correct. We say Jesus all the time. We praise Him every day. Operation Restored Warrior solidified it in my heart. There's no doubt in my mind that my Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, we're out of time today, Chris, but I want to thank you for being with us on Testimony. You have an amazing, amazing story. You are a warrior's warrior because your comrades know you've been there, you've done that. It's not just talk for you. You've been in the battle, you've overcome. And that's what our program is all about. Revelation 12:11 says, "We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." I want to thank you for sharing yours today. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Command Sergeant, Major Retired, Chris Fields. You can learn more about Chris's work by going to OperationRestoredWarrior.org and tell a friend. A great work, a great foundation. God bless you, Chris. Thank you for defending our freedoms in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.